Movies and Booze. I'm Moncrief.
With Marks and Spencer.
On News Talk.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087 1400 106 is our WhatsApp number, and our email address is afternoon@newstalk.com. It is time to round off the week with Movies and Booze. Fionnuala Jones, Chris Wasser and Michelle Lawler are with us once again. Good afternoon to you all.
Hi, guys.
And Michelle, you've taken the very wise decision to bring us in two red wines rather than there was namby-pamby white ones.
Absolutely.
That's the spirit.
Although I've gone for a namby-pamby red.
Okay. How namby-pamby we talking?
Well, pretty namby-pamby. No, I love it, but it's namby-pamby isn't always bad. So we've two wines, both red. Normally we'll do a white and a red, but the red wine that we have in front of us is a Pinot Noir from Germany.
Is that unusual?
It is really unusual, it's a super, super cool wine. I have picked it because it is 11.5% alcohol, and I have spent the last 4 weeks in conversation, because that's what happens in dry January, about alcohol percentages, etc. And, you know, I've just found that we're going to taste the difference between 11.5% red and a 14% red, because you can really see what that tastes like and feels like. Mm. So we have a German Pinot Noir, and then we're going to have a big, beefy, masculine, Spanish, punchy Tempranillo.
All right.
To try.
Yeah, okay. That's a hair in your chest wine.
And it's also horns, you know, just up top of the corners of your mouth. You know, when you drink red wine, you get a little horn. I'll also give you that.
No,
that's for your charge.
With the old facial hair, you get like little soggy bits.
Still free of charge.
Not very attractive, I must say. And our two movies today, is one a streamer and one a cinema one?
One's a streamer, one's on Prime Video, the other is in cinemas only. So the one that's in cinemas only is Companion, which is this icky tech horror, I suppose you call it, about a woman who believes that she's madly in love with her other half, but after a weekend getaway goes wrong, her other half is forced to tell her that she is in fact a companion android. So that's a conversation that you don't want to have with your partner. The other one is a is actually scarier, but it's supposed to be a comedy, but we'll get to it. It's called You're Cordially Invited with Reese Witherspoon and Will Ferrell. It's about two families who book a family wedding on the same day as the other, but unfortunately the place where they book it can only have one wedding at a time, so the both families kind of go to war.
Even the premise of that film is a bit dodgy. How could you make that mistake?
They explain it. There's about 10 or 12 minutes there where they show you how someone could make that mistake. 10 or 12 minutes, which I'll never get back, but we'll get into that later. So.
Okay, all right.
If you're explaining, you're losing.
Absolutely. Especially if it's a film. Right, so for now, there's going to be a second Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Is this a remake, or they're having a reunion after the initial reunion?
It's a sequel, yeah. So presumably it's going to be another reunion of some kind between the two girls. I will say it's not 100% confirmed, but I think at this point, when this stuff is coming out, it's like, might as well be 100% confirmed. Like, Lisa Kudrow's in final negotiations, as is Mira Sorvino. Tim Federle is coming back to write it, which is great. He's directing. And then we have Robin Schiff, I should say, who wrote the original, and is show running on Emily in Paris at the minute, is returning to write it, which kind of gives me hope, because you've got a lot of the original people in the mix. But again, it does beg the question, what are they reuniting for?
Yes.
Are we going back to school again? Are we doing something else? Does it kind of really matter in the context of this film? You know what I mean? It was all about like the comedy and the fashion and the lyric of it. Like, so I think people will be happy with wherever those two characters end up. You know, that kind of way.
It depends on the premise, though, really.
Is anyone going into this being like, I need a rock solid premise for the sequel?
Yeah. Good point. Yes, good point.
People are like, just,
you know, it's like when you double book a hotel for a wedding. That kind of thing. Right. I must miss this. What was the brutalist AI scandal?
Did you not hear any of this?
Okay.
A very simplified explanation is, it's come out that AI was used in The Brutalist in a way to kind of smooth out the Hungarian dialect, particularly with Adrian Brody, because he's playing a Hungarian architect, and the guy who did it is native Hungarian, and basically said, you know, like, it's really, really hard to nail that, and we only used it. It was stuff we couldn't do in ADR. We couldn't reshoot it. So it was just just that little tiny little process, like they all said the things, they were just kind of smoothed out.
Okay.
But basically that news came out and like Brady Corbet, the directors, having to come out and like defend the film and say we only did it in this instance, whatever. But basically people reckon, depending on who you talk to, people reckon that it's kind of scuppered Adrian Brody's chances at the Best Actor award because he's obviously nominated. Again, depending on other people you speak to, people are very much like, oh... And I think I'm kind of in this camp now as well, as much as I'm trying not to shill for big AI. It doesn't really take away from his actual
acting
performance and acting. Yeah. You know what I mean? I do. I think it does open up a conversation of where do we draw the line with AI? And that's
sure.
But that is a separate conversation, I think, with regards to this. It's just a very, very messy Oscars season. And a lot of the categories seem to be kind of blowing up before our eyes, where it might have seemed a bit predictable, but now it's not.
Okay.
Including that one.
Right, what else is going wrong?
So, oh my God, Carla Sofia Gascon, the lead of Emilia Perez, has been in hot water this week. A lot of controversial tweets of hers have been dragged up on social media. A lot of stuff around, like things that can be interpreted as being as Islamophobic, tweets about George Floyd. Like there's so many tweets. We actually don't even have enough time for me to even read them verbatim. But she's come out, she's apologised, said, I want to acknowledge the conversation around my past social media posts that have caused hurt. Someone in a marginalised community, I know the suffering all too well and I'm deeply sorry to those I have caused pain. She had originally been accusing Fernanda Torres, a fellow nominee. She's nominated for I'm Still Here. She was implying that it was Fernanda Torres and her team dragging up, like basically that she, that Fernanda Torres was disparaging her in the press and dragging up these tweets, which are not allowed to do by Oscar rules. You're just not allowed to disparage other nominees. Like that's not how the game works. She was already implied that. Then these tweets came up. Then you also have Fernanda Torres recently come out that she had previously done blackface in a sketch show in 2008. So it's just like that entire category is like, I think originally like Carla Sofia Gascon had been like leading the charge. Like I think people assumed was like it's going to go to her. Emilia Perez is cleaning up and all these other categories, rightly or wrongly, or whether you think so. But now it kind of seems like could be anyone's game with all this, because it just feels like the Academy is going to look on this and be like, this all isn't great. Even beyond that, like if they were able to look beyond the tweets, the idea that she was bringing in Fernanda Torres and like essentially turning it into a mudslinging match. When it's not about that, it's about performances in individual films. It's not going to be perceived well.
The judges, you know, sent a list of their previous tweets and everything stupid or dodgy or offensive they may have said their entire life.
But
they will take that into account.
I think there's probably a conversation, like I don't really understand how it works, but I think it's a conversation of, okay, this conversation is now not focusing on the art and the stuff that we're here to celebrate. Yeah. And that other people have worked so, like there's teams of people behind films, needless to say, I shouldn't have to explain that. Like it's so far beyond Fernanda Torres or Carla Sofia Gascon, like it puts all of their work in disrepute in some ways because it's become this conversation around tweets and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the tweets were bad. It's not like they're quite bad. They're quite frequent. It's not good.
It'd be interesting to see how the producers of the show respond to it, because in terms of the judges voting for it, you're talking about like 7,500 members who aren't going to really talk to one another. So if Carla, if her place in the category is kept, people will vote for her. You just don't know who'll be voting. But in terms of the producers, look at what they did last year, where they had five previous Oscar winners for each acting category come up on stage and for 2 minutes or so talk about why that performer is so brilliant. You can't have that. With Carla, you can't have that with Fernanda, not when they're embroiled in something like this. So it might not change the votes, even if they're still in the category, but it will change the look and sound of the show, I think.
Right, yes, of course, yes, you can't go out and...
And will the Britless be disqualified?
No.
I heard that.
No.
No, I mean, if they were like... If they were to take an Oscar off everyone who was a bit of a dick, that's pretty much all of them.
I think the Brutalist thing is a bit disappointing, because it's like you guys literally just went on strike about these things.
And that's the big issue.
And the editor came out and said that they hadn't got time to iron out imperfections with ADR or with various post-production work. They'd still be working on it. And it's just like, guys, the film itself is imperfect. It's supposed to be. Great films are.
Yeah.
And the fact that you couldn't just leave that alone and that you tinkered with it and that you did something that you knew. You're clever filmmakers. Brady is a very clever guy. You knew that would cause upset. Just take the heat on it. It will disappear in a few weeks, but just don't do it again.
Yeah, but ultimately you can't ignore AI.
No, you can't. Well,
and
you can't.
As in it's coming. It's going to just be in everything. So if you disqualify it once now, that's years of disqualifications coming. You know that way. You have to leave it go.
So what way does AI threaten your job, Michelle?
I love AI.
You see, it's easy because it's not going to take your job.
You know what's really interesting? I was looking at the, like, so I'm really into AI, and I know when Brian Lloyd is here, like, he hates it. But what's really interesting is that they reckon the World Economic Forum released this thing, and that the jobs or the things that AI is going to take is the ability to write and mathematics, which is so scary. But what AI can't take is creativity. So it's if, like, you know, you can at least think it and get someone else to write it. I don't know.
Yeah, but it could probably copy somebody else's. It could take, you know, who's four original ideas or something that humans dreamt up. Well, kind of amalgamate them into something and boom,
you know. Yeah. Anyway,
Anyway, let's have a drink before contemplate the end of the world.
So we're going to go with the lightest one first, okay? And in wine terms, you always go lightest to more full-bodied, because if you go more full-bodied first, you lose all the nuances.
Yes.
And who is wearing a wristwatch? Anybody? Everybody?
Me. Yeah.
Everybody except for me. So if you actually hover the lighter red one above your wristwatch at a 45-degree angle, you should be able to read the time.
Maybe my mind's the wrong one. I don't know. Yes.
The wrong watch?
The wrong wine.
So if you're wondering, which wine can I serve in the fridge? Which wine can I serve with salmon or fish? It's wines at really low tannins. And how do you know if your wine has low tannins? It's because you can see through it. You know, the colour is a lot less. So this is a perfect wine to have, I would say, for like lunchtime. You're kind of coming into that confirmations, communions, you know, if you're going to have something lighter to drink. I love it because it's just so fresh and fruity. German Pinot Noir, which I would say even 3 or 4 years ago would have made most of the world go,
that is nice. Yeah,
it's absolutely delicious. Yeah. Do you know, it's very
You could chill that as well.
That's the whole point, is that you put it, you know, can I chill it? Yeah. Like, the tannins are light enough. And for me, it's just fun in a glass. You know, it's really, really, like, delicious, easy to drink. Everyone's going to like it. And I'd say if we were to take a poll, do you like it, Chris?
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So you're like, that's 100% success rate. That's pretty hard to get for a glass of wine, specifically Pinot Noir, because most people aren't really into it. But what's really interesting, okay, so this is an 11.5% alcohol wine. And normally I would avoid a red that's 11.5%, because you can see the result is like a really thin, light red wine. Coming into effect in the UK tomorrow, they changed all their tax laws. So the wine will be taxed based on its alcohol percentage. So the lower the alcohol, the less the tax.
Doesn't that happen here already?
No, it's basically on sparkling. Like, so it's still, so this still wine here, like these two wines, they're at 319, whereas a fully sparkling, like a champagne, is at 640.
Okay,
But in the UK, this wine tomorrow, the Tempranillo, will be 56 cents more expensive than this wine.
Huh.
Which is mad, okay? But what's really mad about, I mean, it's crazy. Rishi Sunak brought it in and he doesn't drink. And so it's a kind of like a lack of understanding of how wine is made. And like, why would you even bother? But what'll happen is, as kind of like, you know that phrase where when the UK sneezes, Ireland catches a cold.
Mm.
So what we get in Ireland is normally what's available in the UK that makes it over here. And winemakers, certainly the big commercial ones at the entry level, are like, okay, look, we need to make sure we're keeping selling wine, keep making it affordable. So they're all going to start making wines that are lower in alcohol, lighter. Most people want to drink the dark red one, but if they want a cheap glass, they're going to end up with the light red one. And what's going to come onto the Irish market are these, is a big influx in the 11.5%, 12% reds, which is, look, that one is delicious. I would say that is rare to be 11.5% red. And a delicious glass of wine.
Even the ABV it's kind of approximate rather than, that's exactly.
Oh yeah, and you've
15%.
Yeah. No, I don't know. So you've 0.5% leeway. So sometimes you'll find an Australian Shiraz or Cabernet says 14.5, and you know it's 15 because it literally smacks you in the face. But I would wonder, you know, how strict they're going to be on that in the UK, that if you've got a 12% one, you're like, okay, I'll say 11.5 so I can save 12 cents on whatever. Because it goes up 0.1% alcohol, the tax goes up. It's just crazy. But I can definitely see it impacting what's available in the Irish market.
Oh,
for
gosh.
Sure. And in a backwards way, like, because, you know, how many people want to drink this? Yeah, it's delicious now. It's actually lunchtime now. So, of course, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does all our wine or most of our wine come via the UK?
It's not. A lot of it comes via the UK. I would say the large percentage of it does. But it's not even about you know, the UK versus, like, everything is made. The UK, what is it, 60 million people, 65 million people? So everything is geared towards that large commercial market. So we just get what's there. You know what I mean? No one's going to say, OK, well, listen, that little island there, they like them punchy. And then they'll bottle a whole new range or design a whole new range. And ultimately, like, it's all about commerce. If you look at what goes into America, you know, Yellowtail?
Yeah.
Those Chardonnays and Shirazes. Like, they're sweet. Dada is sweet. There are actually loads of sugar in them.
Oh, God, Dada's
gas. But they're made for the mass commercial market.
Yeah.
Dada's gas.
I love
Dada. Well, no, you know, there's... No, but, like, there's your bog standard Dada, which is grand. But then there's all these other ones.
The chocolate range.
Yeah, that they put Ribena into it or something.
It's sugar. Oh, literally, it's like, teaspoons.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. It's like eating an alcoholic donut.
Yeah.
Though, could that also mean at the same time that once this comes in, when this comes into effect, that people won't be driving north to buy their wine, the people, northerners, will be coming down here to buy their wine?
I don't know. It's still only, like, I mean, ultimately only 56% if you want a 14% bottle. You know what I mean? I don't know how that will pan out. And I don't know how many people will realise. I suppose it comes into effect from tomorrow. It takes a while for that to filter down in.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's been, I think it was a year and a half ago that was announced by Rishi Sunak. So you can't actually, the wine wheel is so big, like you can't, you can't turn the boat really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So I suppose I'd say initially people will just be paying the extra 20, 30, 40 cent per bottle. And then the market producers, those big commercial ones, will start releasing these lighter percentage alcohol reds.
Right.
Scary news.
Scary news. Monica says she's out to get a new watch and a bottle of wine. that's our Friday night sorted. So what movie would you like to do first,
Chris? We'll have a look at the robot one, Companion.
Okay, Companion coming up after this.
My friends don't hate you.
Cat does.
Yeah, maybe, but Cat hates everybody.
I just don't want to screw everything up.
Come on, Beep Boop, you're not going to screw everything up. Just relax. You know, don't be all moopy and weird. Just remember to smile and act happy. Okay?
Okay, that didn't sound good. Was that your woman having a electric shock?
I'm not sure what she was having there, but yeah, that was Iris, played by Sophie Thatcher, and Josh, played by Jack Quaid, son of Dennis. But probably the best Quaid at the minute, but we won't get into that. But
is there like a top 10 of Quaids?
There's certainly a top two, and yeah. Dennis is not number one.
All right, okay.
But better luck next year, Dennis.
Yeah. This is a nifty little horror from a guy named Drew Hancock, and produced by the guys who brought us Barbarian last year, which was very well received too. And it basically, it's very clever at the beginning because it makes you think, and I'm not spoiling anything because this is all within the first few minutes, but it makes you think for a few minutes that Iris and Josh, who you just heard, are mad about one another. And there's this lovely little meet cute, it's a great looking film actually, where they're in a supermarket. Josh knocks over all of these oranges, Iris laughs at him, and he thinks, well, this is, you know, the girl of my dreams. She thinks the same about him. And we kind of fast forward, they've been in a relationship for a while, they decide to go on this group vacation with all their friends. They're staying at a friend of his, Kat. She has this wealthy Russian boyfriend played by Rupert Friend, who's not Russian but having a great time playing a Russian with a mullet. And they're staying at his house, and as you heard there, she's kind of worried, your friends are a bit skeptical of our relationship. Why is that? Oh, I'm going to ruin everything for us this weekend. She doesn't ruin everything. What actually happens is that Sergei turns out to be a bit of a creep. He tries to assault Iris, and something very, very bad happens.
Okay.
And something so bad that Josh then has to essentially consider shutting down Iris. But before he does that, he has to tell her first, you're actually a robot. And you're something called a companion android. You know, we didn't meet in the supermarket. You have a memory of us meeting in the supermarket, but it was one of a 100 different meet cutes that they could have had. And the film has some great fun with that, actually, because it shows us all of the different options that these androids come with. And you were delivered to my apartment in a box. And we learn very quickly, again, not a spoiler, that Josh is maybe not a great guy. You know, he's quite manipulative and controlling. And, you know, he's not the nice guy that you heard in that clip there. When you tell a robot that they're a robot, they don't respond very well. And when you tell a robot that they're a robot, especially what happened with Sergei, it's not going to end well. So she knows that they're going to shut her down. So she, and she also has access to like her intelligence settings, her aggression settings. So she ups them, and it's just chaos in the middle of nowhere.
All right, fair enough. And why is it explained why Josh like didn't go for a human?
It does. Yeah, I mean, very quickly you realise that no human would go for Josh.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah, and that he's not the caring, considerate, loving partner, but he's actually just this toxic, manipulative little man boy. Like, so yeah, he's but Quaid is actually very good at playing those kinds of characters, and he's having a blast here. Sophie Thatcher is just brilliant. How do you play a robot? How do you do that blank? The sort of like movie android that is convinced they're human. That's such a difficult role to play.
Yeah.
She kind of makes it look easy. Great supporting cast here too. It's a fabulous looking film. It has a wonderful sense of humor. Yeah, it does run out of ideas about an hour in. But it's a 90 minute tech horror, half an hour of kind of maybe just running around trying to wrap things up. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because like January sometimes is such a weird dumping ground for these major studio horrors. There's been a couple of good ones. Wolfman, I liked a lot more than other people did. But yeah, you usually just get a lot of these kind of cheap horrors that the studios won't put out at Halloween because there's bigger, better competition. This is one of the better ones, I think. And the reason I kept saying as well that I won't spoil anything is because this is all in the trailer. This is all everything
right,
I just
okay.
told you happens.
There's a lot in the trailer.
Oh, yeah, and this all happens within the first few minutes. There are some reveals and twists in the second half of the film, which are brilliant. And they're the real surprises. But I had a lot of fun with this. Yeah. More than I expected.
And could or would you categorize it as a kind of a feminist revenge type thing as well?
Yeah. I was calling it like an icky tech horror. I kind of stand by that. It is a feminist revenge film. It's a little bit of a thriller. It's a lot of things at once, Sean.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's not bad. What's the name of the 11.5% Pinot Noir from Germany? With all the chat between you guys, I did not hear the name of the wine and where it's available. Roger wants to know.
Sorry, I didn't say.
Okay, well, that's why, Roger.
Sorry, apologies. Yeah. So it's called Hans Bear, and it is, Pinot Noir Trocken, available online. You'll find it in a lot of the independent wine stores, obviously on our wine store as well. But you should get it nationwide in the independents.
Okay, Hans Bear, spelled B-E-A-R.
B-A-E-R.
B-A-E-R.
Come on,
of course.
Here.
Sorry, it's German. That's why. Ron says, very little of our wine comes through the UK. 90% comes through mainland Europe. Ron's an expert.
Yeah, look, a lot of it comes through the bigger, like a couple of the importers we work with, it comes into the UK and then makes it over here. Certainly for the independent wines we work with, the big commercial things come in containers and stuff. So they will come in. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it does, I'm afraid. Yeah. Just to remind you folks about the 800 quid we're giving away today, courtesy of FBD. If you'd like a chance of winning that 800 euro, we're asking you to share your unique FBDism, what you think the letters FB and D could or would stand for. To be on the chance of winning that 800 euro, text the word win along with your name, your answer, where you are in the country to 53106. That will cost you 30 cent. We'll tell you who the winner is at the end of the show today. So loads of, there seems to have been a big dump of things coming to Netflix.
Things are coming, yes. 2025, lots happening. We still do not know when Stranger Things is coming out, which is absolutely hilarious to me, the final season. But they've all said, you know what, it's going to be, the Duffer Brothers have said, it's going to be like 8 blockbuster movies. So, but they will not say when it's coming out.
Okay.
Very frustrating because I'm struggling to remember what happened in the end of that show. On the documentary side, a couple of interesting things. Documentary about Eddie Murphy, the Manson murders. So a lot going on here. Hurricane Katrina, Osama bin Laden's capture, the Titan Submersible will also be coming to, a documentary that will be coming to Netflix. What caught people by surprise, I think, was Squid Game Season 3 coming a lot sooner than I think people anticipated because there was such a long way between Season 1 and Season 2. We're actually getting that in the summer. It's going to be dropping June 27th.
Oh, right, yeah.
And another one we have is The Old Guard 2, the Charlize Theron. She's a mercenary. I haven't seen it. People seem to like it. That's coming July 2nd. Kind of more getting into the more interesting stuff, then you have Guillermo del Toro's passion project, it's described, his version of Frankenstein. Oscar Isaac is the titular mad scientist, and then Jacob Elordi is the Frankenstein, which I'm like,
okay,
I think he's too hot to be Frankenstein. That's just my opinion, but
maybe it's a new take, hot
maybe,
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Guillermo, call me because I'm interested.
Yeah, this is kind of like Companion again.
Yeah. It's, Mia Goth is in it as well. Christoph Waltz. I think I'd mentioned a couple of weeks ago. We don't have a date for this yet, but Happy Gilmore 2, Adam Sandler returning, Julie Bowen, Christopher McDonald, and then also we have the likes of, I don't think we have a date for this, but we got the first look at the third Knives Out, Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery. He's joined. Daniel Craig has joined. joined alongside Josh O'Connor for that. I watched the first one of that over Christmas and I didn't really get it. Like, I feel like people are obsessed with the Knives Out and I was like, okay. Yeah. I will say I'd had quite a lot to drink, so I don't know if that had something to do with it. But
it's a bit of camp frippery.
But I didn't think it was camp enough to be camp frippery, no? I feel like, I don't know. There's parts where I feel like it was taking itself very seriously. I feel like
I
didn't know what I wanted to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Again, bear in mind the alcohol. But anyway.
Yeah.
We also have, I didn't know about this, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon collaborating again. This is RIP. This is coming in the autumn to Netflix. The logline is, upon discovering millions in cash in a derelict stash house, trust among a team of Miami cops begins to fray as outside forces learn about the size of the seizure. Everything is called into question, including who they can rely on. Classic.
Okay, that sounds like a very original plot there.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever heard about that kind of thing.
Let's do town again, but with police. And I said, fair enough, Ben, I'm sash, I will watch.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, okay, you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break after that. More movies and news. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087 1400 106 is our WhatsApp number. We're still in the midst of movies and booze. Michelle, Chris and Fionnuala are still with us, though. We will take a break from that to find out, did anyone win that wedge load of money in the cash machine?
News Talk's Cash Machine.
Helena became our third big winner of the year so far last week when she answered our call and emptied the cash machine. She is going to start her spending with a new car. Congratulations again, Helena. Now, we're going again. There is more cash up for grabs. If you've entered since 5 o'clock last Friday, please check your phones. If this is you, you need to know today's cash machine winning total and you must answer within 5 rings.
One ring. Two rings. Three rings. Four rings. Five rings.
Okay, so no answer means our next game is a rollover. And if you've entered since 5 o'clock Friday last, then your entry is included in our next game. But you will need to know that new cash total. Listen to The Hard Shoulder just after 5 p.m. to hear that new cash amount. We could be calling you.
News Talk's Cash Machine.
There you go. No winner there, as you just heard there. If you have entered since 5 o'clock last Friday and you did send in the text, you are included in the draw, except presumably that person they just rang. They'll get a text saying loser at some point later on. Right.
From you.
From me, yeah, personally. Right, with a little kind of laughy emoji. So we had the Pinot Noir from Germany, so let's move on to the beefy man's wine.
The big beefy, what is it, Yorkie?
It's, yeah, it's not for
not,
girls.
Not for girls, yeah. I take an argument up with that. But anyway, so what we have here is a wine from Ribeiro del Duero. So that is kind of in the middle of Spain. It's a place very close to the Portuguese border. And how I would describe this is the love child of Malbec and Rioja.
Yeah.
Okay. And if when you're
That's
tasting
lovely.
That. Oh, yeah. It is really, really delicious. So Ribeiro del Duero is in Spain. It's one of the iconic premium places that produces wine within Spain, and it is home to Spain's, I was gonna say Ireland, Spain's most expensive and most famous wine, Vega Sicilia. Okay, why does it taste so delicious, and what makes it the love child of Malbec, which is big and ripe and fruity, and Rioja is because it's the grape of Rioja, but done in an area that's very similar to Mendoza in Argentina, okay? Mm. So it's able to produce those really big, ripe, generous flavours. It's up at a high altitude, so 1,000 metres above sea level. And if you think, if you're going to go hiking in the mountains tomorrow or maybe sometime, in the morning time it's cold, so you're going to have, you know, a jacket on. But because the temperature changes during the day, you have your layers and on and off. So if you imagine up in these mountains, the grapes have really cold temperatures at nighttime and really hot temperatures during the day. So it allows the grape to do two things: get really ripe and then have a rest, and get ripe again and have a rest. So it allows it to get this really refined structure like you'd get with a Rioja, but those really generous, voluptuous flavours that you get from a Malbec.
Mm.
So that's why it's so big, ripe. And for me, like when you look at the two wines together, the Pinot Noir is the colour of cherries and tastes a bit like cherries. Your Tempranillo from Ribeiro del Duero, it is a brambly blue, blackcurranty coloured wine, and that's what it tastes like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a really, really lovely wine. Ribeiro del Duero, you might never have heard of it. it got a legal, part of, I suppose, entering into the EU, it got legal wine grape or wine region status in 1982. Despite it being a new wine, it's really quickly elevated to being one of Spain's premium wines. So this one is a Joven, meaning young. There's no oak in it. There's no oak in either of these wines.
Yeah, how old is that? Is that
I'd say 23. Yeah, 2023.
Okay, so right.
Like,
yeah,
it's only last year.
Yeah.
But being a young wine with no oak, it's still a premium price. It's still $18.50 a bottle, okay?
Yeah.
And so unlike where you can get a Malbec for a tenner or less, Ribera del Duero, it's just in the aspirational end of the wine list. You can't get it, like Sancerre or Chablis, like Rioja, you can get a cheap one, but you can't get a cheap Ribera del Duero. So what you do get when you're buying it, and it's because of the area and the winemaking techniques, but also the quality and the climate, it just makes a very high quality wine. So for me, if you arrive to someone's house and they consider themselves someone who knows a lot about wine and you show up with a Ribera del Duero, you're going to get the ooh.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because it just makes a high quality wine and it's just delicious. I don't know. Do you guys like it?
Yes. Very tasty.
I prefer the other one, but
yeah. It's definitely like, and it's kind of because it's lunchtime as well. If you were to have this with a little bit of protein, a little bit of steak, it's a really strong flavour. So strong flavoured meat. You'll get 1 + 1 = 3. The wine will taste better and the food will taste better.
What's the difference between Tempranillo and Ribera del Duero?
So, Tempranillo, that's a great question. 10 points.
Thank you.
So, Ribera del Duero is a place. Rioja is a place, okay? But Tempranillo is a grape. So, Tempranillo can be grown anywhere in Spain.
It's the king grape
of Spain. For me, if I see Tempranillo on a label, I know it's quality. It's like seeing Cabernet or Shiraz. It's a very high quality grape. Mm. The reason being is that you can do it without oak, or you can do it like a Rioja Reserva or a Gran Reserva with oak. You can have it young, you can have it old, you can have it medium bodied, full bodied, or light bodied. It's very versatile, very high quality. They can age. They just make a really good wine. So Rioja will always be Tempranillo. Ribera del Duero will always be Tempranillo, but Tempranillo can also appear in other pockets. Tempranillo also can be single varietal or it can be blended. It's just like a brilliant grape, and I don't think it gets enough recognition. But it's a great question. Like, what's the difference?
Yeah. Oh, I can't remember where it was now. It was years ago. We did an outside broadcast. It was either in Portugal or Spain. That really narrows it down. but we did it from a vineyard.
Yeah.
But they brought us to a place. And it translated as row of elephants, was that this little narrow street, and you stopped at each place, and every place for 150 gave you like a little sausage or something.
An elephant.
Yeah, something small. That's not why they called it that. And a small glass of Tempranillo.
Yeah.
And then you went to the next place. And for another 150, you got something else to eat. And each place specialised in a different sort of food.
Yeah.
And the reason why it was called that was by the time you got to the end of that row. I couldn't look at Tempranillo for quite some time afterwards. And there is actually a karaoke bar there with a picture of Henry McKean on the door saying, "Do not admit this man."
I would imagine that you were actually in Spain, because in Portugal, although they do grow Tempranillo, they call it like by the local name.
Yeah.
So you were definitely in Spain having your Tempranillo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's a delicious grape. The wine is delicious. It's really high quality, really versatile. And definitely, like, there's definitely this move towards people looking for alternatives to the usual suspects. Bored of the kind of supermarket stuff. Okay, where can I find something new and fun? And getting a good recommendation is the easiest place to start.
Yeah.
So try Ribera.
No, yeah, they were both lovely. The best comment on the best quaid at the moment reminded me of Stephen Colbert. A bit about the Hemsworth brothers. He ranked them in order of quality. Number one, Chris Hemsworth. Number two, Liam Hemsworth. Number three, Noah Hemsworth. Number four, Luke Hemsworth.
Wow.
Poor Luke.
Yeah, that's harsh. That's really harsh. Speaking of siblings, what are the Paul brothers doing, or do we care?
Well, I don't care, but it is in media, so we will unfortunately discuss it. And people do care about them based on some of the figures that I'll share in a second. They had a social media post out, I think it was last week or something, that seemed to imply that Logan and Jake Paul were going to be fighting each other, right? They've since...
To the death?
Well, I mean, I was about to say something, but I can't say it on here. The implication that they were going to fight, if you're not familiar with them, I'm so jealous of you. But
if you're not, don't tell them. You're better off not knowing.
Okay, I leave.
They're two social media stars. They've kind of parlayed into boxing, kind of, but that's a very short explanation. But basically, they're not fighting each other. It's actually that they have this documentary series coming out that's going to be following them around. around and their lives. It's called Paul American, which I will say, it's a good name. I'll give them that. It's coming to Max on March 27th. I'm assuming we'll get it here around the same time. And it's looking at kind of their lives. I think they're trying to position themselves as kind of a Kardashian-esque clan.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Of worse calibre, again, yeah. If you can believe that. But, yeah.
Yeah. The kind of people that Kardashians would sell their house if they moved in next
yeah,
door.
Yeah, kind of the Kardashians would not want to be associated with the Pauls.
No.
Yeah. Like, that says everything you need to know.
Yeah. Right, we move on to our second movie of the day. It is For Your Consideration. Here's a clip.
Hi there. I'm checking into the bridal suite. My name is Margot Buckley. My sister is Nev Buckley, and she's getting married this weekend.
Hold on. I think there might be a little mistake, because my daughter's getting married, Jenny Caldwell. It's booked. We booked the weekend.
Well, now, I only have Nev Buckley written down here.
No, that's not possible. That's literally impossible.
I'm looking at the book.
Okay, well, look at the book again. I spoke to your mother, Scarlett. She booked it. In fact, bring her out. Scarlett! Get out here! Scarlett, it's Jim!
She passed last summer.
Oh.
Oh, right. Anyway, it's your cordially invited. I got that wrong.
You can call it whatever you like.
Yeah, because I know. I wouldn't want to mix people up to that other film.
Yeah. it's kind of weird that Will Ferrell this year is following up one of the best films he's ever made, which was Will and Harper, a lovely documentary made, which I think should have definitely been nominated for an Oscar for Best Documentary, but I won't go into that. He's following that up with one of his worst. And he's made some pretty bad ones. But the reason I think this is one of his worst is because you've got Nicholas Stoller, who's a talented filmmaker. You've got Reese Witherspoon, who I like a lot. You've got Will Ferrell, who is a great comedic talent. And putting them together, you should not get trashed like this. And, you know, I was thinking about the last film that we reviewed. If you think too much about Companion, and I went so far into the synopsis, so you have some idea of what it's like. If you think too much about how it works and why it probably shouldn't, your brain will start to fall out of your ears.
Yeah.
But it's fine because it's such an entertaining film. You just go along with it.
Sure.
With this, you start to think of all of the reasons why this double booking at this place, and you heard them there arguing about it, why that shouldn't work and why, you know, both of them would have checked in at the place. If you're thinking about all of those things, and if they're bothering you while you're watching it, something has gone
already.
Wrong.
Yeah.
It has,
yeah.
So it takes about 10 or 12 minutes for this film to explain itself at the beginning. So that's a big problem. And then it kind of ends up in this thing. I watched this on Prime Video. I watched this with my partner Michelle last night. And halfway through she said, this is like a terrible Bride Wars, which is, there's not enough time in the world to untangle that statement. Because that film is one of the worst stains on Anne Hathaway's CV. It really is terrible. But I totally see where she's coming from. There is this idea that the filmmakers have, and they don't really stick to it, that, you know, Reese Witherspoon and Will Ferrell, because, you know, his daughter's getting married at this venue and it's double booked, and her sister's getting married and it's double booked, they're going to try and sabotage each other's weddings. My question is, why? The film never really explains why they want to do that. You know, and they're presented as really, really nice people. And so it just never really makes sense. And then every 5 minutes, the filmmakers just change their idea, and they're like, look, well, actually, we'll have them be friends. And then an hour in, it changes tact again and thinks, well, let's have them falling in love with each other. And that bit came as a bit of a surprise to me, because for an hour leading up to this, you know, discovery that, you know, Will Ferrell's Jim and Reese Witherspoon's Margot, that they might have feelings for one another, there's been no evidence of any sort of love or connection between the two of them. And once you then go down that path, you think to yourself, well, you better pull out the chemistry here. You better show us something that they there's nothing. And not for the first time. And that's been a big problem with himself and herself in a lot of the comedies they've made. They don't really have much chemistry with their co-stars.
Yeah.
They're not, I don't think they're good fits when it comes to, and I know Reese Witherspoon especially has made an awful lot of romantic comedies, but you never really believe the chemistry between yourself and a co-star.
Yeah.
I think it's a shame. Will Ferrell here, he has some nice moments where you start to kind of buy him as this grieving father, because he's playing a widower who maybe invests a bit too much time into his child, because he thinks that if she's happy, then maybe I can borrow some of her happiness. Reese Witherspoon's character is the same with her sister. And you forget how good an actor Will Ferrell is until you catch him in a little moment where he's maybe having a drink by himself and toasting his dead wife. And they're lovely little moments where you think, Will Ferrell is such a good actor. Give him something decent to do. But unfortunately, then this film then has him in the next scene wrestling an alligator in a hotel room. Why? I don't know.
Cool.
It's a little bit all over the place. It falls short in the joke department. And it just, there's an awful feeling of, will this do about it? You know, this will, you can put this on while you're doing something else. It's like perfectly acceptable streaming filler. I don't buy that. You could do that with other actors who aren't Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon. Try harder, guys.
And the conflict is resolved, I'm going to guess, in the most obvious way possible.
Oh, yeah.
And let's not give away spoilers.
No.
But I haven't seen the film, so that technically isn't a spoiler. They decide to have a joint wedding.
Would you be shocked if I told you that they decided to A, share the venue, and that B, both of their families ended up, you know, mates with each other while the two of them in the middle are fighting?
That's mad. That's totally mad. Totally out of the blue, that one.
Yeah.
So tell us about the Grammys this weekend. Who's presenting them? Who's going
to
win?
Grammys this weekend, Taylor Swift has been confirmed to be presenting a category. We don't know which one. She's up for 6 awards. She'll probably win all of them because there's no justice in the world, even though I do like her. That album doesn't deserve it. Lady Gaga is debuting her new single, Mayhem, off the album of the same name. That's very exciting. We're very excited for LG7. Beyoncé is obviously the most decorated artist at the Grammys, and she has the most nominations at this weekend's Grammys. I think she's up for 11 awards. Again, she probably won't win anything because the way the Grammys have been with her, or else it'll be a thing of, I think she wins everything to try and make up for past years, potentially. Going to be loads of performances. I think it'll be an interesting one. It's a bit of a highly contentious year when you look at the likes of Charli XCX is obviously up for 8 category or 8 nominations as well. Sabrina Carpenter's up for 6. Chapel Rowan's up for 6. Yeah, I'm very excited. We'll be very interested.
Yeah, and female artists seem to be leading the charge there.
Yeah, but look, you have the likes of Post Malone's obviously highly nominated as well. He is 8. Kendrick Lamar ahead of the Super Bowl. I think he has 7 nominations. But yeah, it's the girlies cleaning up.
Okay, good stuff. Good to hear. The winner of our FBD competition is Anne Neary. She says, fixing brutal dilemmas. Once again, somebody's texting and saying, what's the name of the second wine again? You did say the name of the second wine.
So the second wine, it's Abadia de Akon is the name of the producer. There are a few different cuvées in this. It's a bit like Rioja. You know the way where it's a Rioja, you can have a Crianza Reserva or a Gran Reserva. This one is a Joven and the region is Ribera del Duero. And again, very similar to the Hans Berpino, all good independent off-licences nationwide as well as online.
Somebody also says, would someone feed the poor wine reviewer? She said it's lunchtime about 10 times in this day. Just nearly dinner time.
So, thank you.
Chris Vanula and Michelle, thank you all. Michelle, go out and get yourself a sandwich. Thanks to the three of them. Our production team today, Simon Tierney, Michael Quilligan, Niamh Hamill and Aidan McKelvey. Kieran's up next on News Talk. We'll talk to you on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Have a lovely bank holiday weekend. Who knows, this time next week, your electricity might be back on.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
With Marks and Spencer.
On News Talk.